My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He joins us today to offer his thoughts on a couple of different very important legal issues. Number one, we want to get his reaction to President Trump deciding to continue an executive order from the Obama administration as it relates to LGBT rights, as it relates to federal contractors. And, of course, we want to get his reaction to the president's choice of Judge Neil Gorsuch to fill the seat of Antonin Scalia on the U.S. Supreme Court. And, Matt, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
For those who might not remember this executive order from President Obama, explain what it said and what it orders.
Well, in 2014, President Obama, contrary to any federal law, issued an executive order saying that any federal contractor, any contractor that does business with the federal government, has to have this so-called LGBT and even Q questioning, which is added to that alphabet soup. And they had to put this into their employment system. So they were imposing on employers the LGBTQ agenda when they didn't have any federal law as authority, because neither sexual orientation nor gender identity or any federal employment laws. But Obama did it anyway. Now, we were hoping, of course, that that would be one of those executive orders that would go by the wayside. But when President Trump came into office, sadly, he continued that executive order in 2017. So that's unfortunate, because that is going way beyond federal law. In fact, the federal law does not have sexual orientation or gender identity in the employment context or in any other context with regards to employment or public accommodation. In fact, Congress has been asked several times to include sexual orientation and gender identity into the federal employment law, and they have rejected that opportunity, that urging, I should say. And consequently, not only does the law not have it, but we see from Congress they don't want it in there. So why would the president go over and above them and impose this on employers anyway? Well, it's understandable for Obama, but it's just not acceptable for President Trump. I think that he needs to be more educated on this issue, and he needs to reverse this policy that Obama ultimately instituted.
What does this specifically mean for those in search of federal contracts? What policies do they have to either adopt or endorse or even adopt within their own company?
Well, in fact, what they need to do is they would have to not only have the LGBT employment policy that would affect who they hire and who they promote and whether men can actually dress as women, whether they can be the receptionist or some other kind of public face and change their outward appearance and want to be called by something else. But it also affects their use of the public restrooms and other private facilities. So if men want to use the women's facilities, they will be allowed to do so. They will impose this on the employers from the federal government. And I don't think that has any place for the government, let alone an executive order, to unilaterally impose this kind of agenda upon the employers. It puts these employers in a situation where the privacy and the safety and welfare of their other employees are in jeopardy. This allows someone who has a confused mind to demand use of the opposite sex restroom or shower room or locker room. It also allows someone who has a perverted mind that just simply wants to do harm, who wants to say that they are of the opposite sex. For example, a man who wants to just simply go into the woman's private facilities. It allows that person to be able to do so as well. And that's just an absurd kind of situation, and it's uncalled for the president to impose this on any company that contracts with the federal government. We want to have America first. We want to create jobs. Well, what do you do? Don't put this absurd policy on them when the federal law does not impose it.
And for companies that refuse to abide by this executive order, they're basically on the outside looking in when it comes to winning federal contracts?
Yeah, certainly. Any company that doesn't want to have this kind of absurd policy in place or the policy that violates their sincerely held religious beliefs, they're going to have to sit on the sideline. They won't be able to do business with the federal government. So this is just an insane policy. You know, the idea of not discriminating against some people, certainly no one wants to do that. And I think sometimes people use that as a shorthand not to think through what the implications of these kinds of policies are. Gender identity is completely in a different category than discrimination on the basis of race, for example, or religion, which is protected by the First Amendment and other laws. When you put this "I think, therefore I am" kind of mentality, I think I am a woman, therefore I am a woman, even though I'm biologically and physiologically and objectively a man, when you impose that on an employer, you have all kinds of problems that result. And that's why this should never be part of the federal law or any other law, but it certainly shouldn't be part of President Trump's executive order.
We'll get to the Supreme Court nomination in just a moment, Matt, but with this issue now in front of us, what other issues will you be looking at here coming forward to see where President Trump really stands on this issue, whether he's just deciding not to pick a fight on this particular executive order or whether he's on that side of the debate?
Well, you know, one of the areas that he was clearly on our side was the issue of life and many other areas of justices and judges that he wanted to appoint. But he never was on our side, it looked like, on the so-called LGBT agenda. Certainly, he's not on the level of President Obama, who was radical in that respect. But I think as long as he doesn't push that agenda, but unfortunately, you know, in the first 2 weeks of office, he does this executive order, and that's disturbing.
Do you think that he will reject or embrace what Obama had to say with respect to the public schools on that issue?
I think that he'll probably I don't know what he's going to do on that. I think clearly what's going to happen there, that's going to be in the realm of the Attorney General. And I don't think Jeff Sessions is going to push the Obama agenda to try to reinterpret Title IX to impose this LGBT agenda and gender identity on the public schools.
All right, let's move on now in our last couple of minutes to the selection of Neil Gorsuch, the judge for the past 10 years from the U.S. Court of Appeals out of the 10th Circuit in Denver. Virtually everyone in the conservative spectrum seems to be overjoyed with this, regardless of which issues they focus on, social conservatives, economic conservatives, religious liberty, all across the board. It seems like most conservatives are happy with this pick. What do you know about Judge Gorsuch?
Well, I think he's going to be a great Supreme Court justice. He certainly is educationally and experientially qualified for this position. But not only that, more importantly, he's got the right judicial philosophy. He's written a book about euthanasia, and in that book, he takes a very scholarly approach to the issue. Even people on both sides of the fence praised his ability to be able to engage all the arguments. But at the end of the day, he comes down on the side of the sanctity of human life, saying that it's intrinsically valuable and no person has the right to end another person's life. So I think that certainly is at one end of the spectrum, and you put it on the other end of the spectrum, and it's the same thing. Whether it's abortion or euthanasia, beginning or end of life, it's the same thing. So I think his philosophy is great, and plus he's actually expressed his judicial philosophy that judges are to judge and not be legislators, and that judges need to get out of this legislative policymaking arena that hurts the judiciary. So he is an originalist like Scalia is. I think he actually has a broader natural law concept than even Scalia did. So I think he's going to be a great replacement for Justice Scalia. And I'm very pleased with this pick. President Trump did a very good job at choosing the right person out of the block to replace Justice Scalia. I am very optimistic about the future of this particular justice in the Supreme Court. With President Trump making these kind of nominations, we need to make sure that all the nominations, not just this one, but the one for the other courts as well, there's over 100 of those vacancies that are available, need to be very similar to the kind of person that he has nominated now to the United States Supreme Court.
Well, as you mentioned, it's not just this selection, but many, many lower court positions that are currently available and will come available. And it's certainly possible, of course, that we could see another Supreme Court vacancy within this 4-year span. Matt, always good to have your insights. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.